Greetings. It is I, the Great One himself, founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com, on the interwebs. 10 years of podcasting, even more years of pissing people off, because before I was podcasting, I was writing. But I'm too lazy to write. Writing takes a lot of work. Sitting here talking, on the other hand, I can run my mouth all fucking day. You were correct. There was no podcast on Friday. We didn't even do a repeat. I had a lot going on, and honestly, I was just tired. And I was feeling pretty sure that all of you out there could go a whole 4 days without listening to some new whiny-ass rant from me. And I'm probably right. If anybody died because I didn't put out a podcast on Friday, let me know. I'll cry at your funeral. And you can let me know by sending an email to God, that's dog spelled backwards, God, at CYNLIBSOC.com. Also, before I forget, shout out to Aaron Clary for mentioning me on his blog, again, CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com is where you can find Captain Capitalism, also known as Aaron Clary. So welcome to any people coming here from the Clary blog. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit more about World War II, because I've been watching this documentary, World War II Behind Closed Doors. Hang on. I'm at the crib. World War II Behind Closed Doors, Stalin, the Nazis, and the West is the name of the documentary. It's a two-disc DVD, 6 parts total. All those weird noises, that's my chair as I'm reclining back. It's my brain seizing up as I try to think. This is a really good documentary about World War II. I very, very highly recommend that you watch this documentary. And of course, it's also a documentary about statism. Oh, the fucking statism. Listening to, they do interviews with people from World War II, soldiers and civilians. They also do historical reenactments, which in theory are based on transcripts that have been acquired of these actual meetings. You know, again, let me just throw this out. Yes, I am believing everything in the documentary is true. I have not personally, independently verified every single piece of information presented in the documentary because life is short. Is it possible that there's information in the documentary that is not correct? Of course there is. All right, so just for somebody, because there'll be the deniers and the haters out there. When I talk about some of this stuff, you'll just say, well, that's not true, that's made up, whatever. Go fuck yourselves. Listening to soldiers talking about how they killed people because, well, that's what they were told to do. And listening to civilians talk about how they were raped when they were 12-year-old girls by Russian soldiers. And there's one American airman who was talking about how when he landed his airplane on Iwo Jima, and he, as the airplane was landing, it went past this graveyard with all these grave markers. And he's talking about how he realized that all of those people died. They died. I know some of you out there don't understand this concept. They're dead. They have had taken from them everything. It's the ultimate violation of don't take other people's stuff, and the ultimate violation of don't initiate aggression against other people. It is the ultimate violation of everything that our anarcho-capitalists believe in. All of these men, boys, died, and these are his words, they died so that I could have a landing strip And he says that at that moment, something inside of him changed. Something inside of him snapped. When he realized that all of these people were dead, so that he could land a fucking airplane on an island. You know, and this is war. In the documentary, this one woman who survived the Soviet occupation was talking about being raped by these soldiers, and they were talking about how groups of 10 to 15 Soviet soldiers were raping girls as young as 14 years old. Kind of sounds like Muslims, doesn't it? Yeah, they're... And this is perhaps a holdover from when I was a right-wing minarchist or something like that. I'll admit that there's possibilities of things like that. You know, the Soviet Union, and yes, all of this comes from a perspective of statism. At the time, after World War II, during the Cold War, the Soviet Union, despite what a lot of people want to say, the Soviet Union was a threat. It was led by people like Stalin, who was a giant piece of shit. This documentary, thank God, man, it pulls no punches on making Stalin, Churchill, and Roosevelt look like the pieces of shit that they are. I mean, if you have any kind of fucking hero complex worship for any of these three cocksuckers, if you watch this documentary and you still have that attitude, there's something mentally wrong with you. These three men were pieces of shit. They were garbage. They were filth. They were murdering pieces of shit. The Soviet Union was a threat to the United States. Now, were there exaggerations of how many nuclear missiles they had for the purpose of building up the military-industrial complex and all and things like that? Yes, probably so. But when you watch this documentary and you hear about the atrocities committed by the Soviet soldiers, not that in all wars some soldiers don't commit atrocities, you know, but there's differences. I mean, Stalin actually defends his soldiers for raping women. You know, in the United States, well, and things, God knows what the fuck's going on now. I would like to think, and I could be wrong, I'd like to think that in World War II, had American soldiers gang-raped 14-year-old women, I would like to think that even if Roosevelt, who I have no faith in, I would like to think that Eisenhower would have fucking said something and put his foot down. I have some notes here. We'll see if I can make sense of them because I scribbled these down while watching the documentary. Stalin, in a meeting with Churchill and with Roosevelt, said that as a retaliation for the Germans invading the Soviet Union, he wanted to kill 50,000 to 100,000 German citizens to punish them for invading the Soviet Union. The frightening thing was that neither Churchill nor Roosevelt had the balls to just outright say, no, you're sort of an asshole and we're not going to do business with you. In fact, Roosevelt even joked that he was willing to allow Stalin to kill German civilians out of retaliation, but they would have to cap the number at 49,000. This is the kind of person Stalin was. This is the person who was giving orders in the Soviet Union and who was being mindlessly obeyed. One of the things they don't mention in this documentary is the fact that before World War II started, Stalin, of course, purged his own military by killing all of the intelligent generals. All of his good military leaders he wiped out. That's one of the reasons the Soviet Union fared so poorly at the beginning of war, because he didn't have any decent military generals. He killed them all. Sort of like he killed all the Polish. So the Polish, while I'm just thinking about it, I talked in a previous podcast about the parts in this where they speak about the Soviet Union exterminating all of these Polish leaders, Polish military leaders, and Polish intelligentsia. And also pointed out how the Polish don't whine about this the way the Jews whine about the concentration camps. But then again, the Polish aren't playing the Jew card like the Jews are. And the Soviets then dug up the bodies of the Pol- when the so beginning of World War II, Germany goes into Poland and takes the western half. Russia, because of their agreement with Germany, rolls into Poland and takes the eastern half, and that's where they're killing all of these Poles at and burying them. So then, of course, when the Germans invaded the Soviet Union, the territories formerly that were Poland, they dug up the mass graves and, of course, spread this information to the Allies, which was brilliant political propaganda on their part. And of course, it was also the truth that yes, the Soviet Union did kill all these people. And of course, Churchill and Roosevelt simply looked the other way because, oh, they needed the Soviet Union to be their allies. In retrospect, what should have happened? In retrospect, had I been the grand poobah leader of the Allied forces or some whatever shit in those days, we should have just let the Germans invade the Soviet Union, take over the Soviet Union, and then we should have invaded Germany. But, you know, hindsight 2020. You can't really do much with that other than armchair quarterback history. When the Soviet Union went back into Poland, they dug up all the Polish officers and Polish intelligentsia they had killed, falsified documents to make it look like those people were still alive until the Germans came in, and then presented this evidence to everybody and went, hey, look, we didn't kill these people. The Germans killed them because they were still alive when we were occupying Poland. They didn't die until after the Germans had driven us out. Holy fuck, man. And of course, while the governments knew this was all bullshit, I mean, Churchill knew this was bullshit, Roosevelt knew this was bullshit, of course, the public, being fed by the media, remember the media, who's supposed to be giving us accurate information, the news media, bought this shit hook, line, and sinker and spread it. And again, Roosevelt and Churchill said nothing, did nothing because, well, we need the Soviet Union to be our allies. And of course, Roosevelt was practically in love with Stalin. I think Roosevelt probably wanted to give Stalin a blowjob, but since he couldn't get out of his wheelchair to get down on his knees, maybe that's why he didn't. I don't know. Roosevelt was a goddamn giant piece of shit. Absolute fucking piece of shit, as far as I'm concerned. Speaking of people who aren't playing the Jew card, what about the Crimean Tartars? Who, as I mentioned in this, were all, every fucking one of them, uprooted from the country where they lived in Crimea and sent to Uzbekistan. And along the way, approximately a third of them died. Do you ever hear them whining about their Holocaust? Do you ever hear the Poles? I mean, Poland was the country that, in theory, France and England entered World War II because Germany invaded Poland, and they entered the war to help defend Poland. And yet, what did Poland get out of World War II? Poland got the biggest fucking ass-fucking you can imagine. In addition to just the people who were killed because they were soldiers in the war, in addition to all the Polish citizens who were tortured and raped and executed by both the Germans and the Soviets. The borders of Poland were decided by all these other countries except them. Their government, their government in exile was ignored by the Soviets. Of course, we know what happened to Poland eventually. They ended up just being a satellite state of the Soviet Union. And ask yourself this. They got the most royal fucking you can imagine. And yet, in theory, World War II was started because France and England were coming to the rescue of Poland. And during all of the diplomatic stuff where the Polish government in exile was trying to be recognized instead of before the war ended, so Stalin set up, when the Soviet forces retook Poland, they set up a puppet government. Meanwhile, there was a Polish government in exile. So the Polish government in exile was, quote unquote, recognized by the United Kingdom and the United States, while, of course, the Soviet puppet government was the only one recognized by the Soviet Union. And again, the Allies essentially just said, fuck it, we're going to let the Soviets do what they want. And we know after the war, we know who ended up owning all of Poland. Why in the fuck, when these people say, well, the Soviet Union was never a threat, the Soviet Union is a huge fucking country. Why did the Soviet Union, Stalin, as the leader of the Soviet Union, why in the fuck did they need more land? Like, seriously, think about it. It's pre-World War II. You're sitting there, there's the Nazis, there's the Germans, and you're Stalin, and you're negotiating with them for half of Poland. As a percentage of the Soviet Union, what the fuck is half of Poland? I mean, I don't know the answer to this question. I'm throwing this out. What the fuck were they going to do with half of Poland? What did they do with all of Poland? What do they need that for? That's statism right there. That is pure fucking statism. Just imperialist, expansionist policy. We have a country. I am a fucking statist dictator named Stalin. I rule the Soviet Union, this giant fucking country, with all these people that I can kill anytime I want, with all these resources that I can force my slaves to dig out of the ground or to grow crops or whatever and then let them starve to death and not give a fuck. What the fuck do you need with Poland? It's just pure statism. It's pure hatred of other people. It's pure tyranny. It's just a pure desire to rule and dominate other humans. Stalin is a sick motherfucker. And Churchill and Roosevelt couldn't stop kissing his ass, which tells you what kind of people they are. They were both elected. Democracy. Oh, fuck yes, democracy. What is this? Soviets tortured the Poles. Yes, the Soviets, when they invaded Poland both times, tortured the fuck out of the Polish people. Soviets rolled in, and the NKVD, an NKVD detachment, the NKVD was the Soviet secret police. The NKVD rolled into one of the major Polish cities before the army even got there and captured the Gestapo headquarters in that city as the Germans were trying to bug out and then take all their paperwork, because they wanted to find out which Poles had been collaborating with the Germans while they were there so they could torture them. So, I mean, think about this. You're this Polish citizen. You're sitting there, and first the motherfucking Soviets come in and torture everybody. Then the Germans come in Yeah, no, and of course, originally, so the Poles are sitting there in the part that became, in the part that was occupied by the Soviet Union. So the Germans are invading to the east, and the Soviets show up, and you're like, yay, we're protected by the Soviets. And the Soviets start fucking torturing you, and you're like, Jesus fucking Christ. So then the Russians invade the Soviet Union. The Russians roll in, and you're like, I mean, the Germans roll in, and you're like, oh my God, thank God the fucking Germans are here to save us from the fucking Soviets. Well, then the Germans start torturing you. And you're like, Jesus fucking Christ. So then the Soviets roll back in, and you're sitting there going, oh great, and we know it's coming. And the Soviets fucking torture you again. Unless you're a woman, they rape you, and then they torture you. And people are going, but without the government, who would build the roads? Because you cocksucking fucking statist out there, you just can't let go of your need for... And I know what you're saying. Well, but those were evil governments. They're not like our democratically elected government today that has Hussein Obama in the White House. Why, these things would never happen today. Nobody has ever been tortured or killed by Hussein Obama's government. People, history is not things that will never happen again. History is what's going to happen tomorrow. It's just going to involve people wearing different clothing. And I need another drink of beer. Just a plug here, if it gets distributed to wherever you're at. Called Funkworks is the name of the brewery, and the beer is Tropic King Imperial Saison. Imperial, like Imperial Soviet Union. We will kill, we will send our soldiers to gang rape 14-year-old girls, because in the Soviet Union, everyone is equal. The workers own everything. And of course, left-wing statist, this is their fucking... political, economic model of choice. Communism, socialism. I mean, this is their fucking model of choice for what the world should look like. Left-wing statists are sick little fuckers, even sicker than right-wing statists, who are pretty fucking sick. My notes. Now this, oh shit, I have more notes than I thought I did. This was something I learned that I did not know about. As the Soviets were moving back into Poland after Germany had invaded them, they created a fake Polish army. They took one of their divisions. I write it down. It was one of their Army Air Force divisions. They just called them. They just went in there and said, okay, guess what? You're no longer members of the Soviet Army. You are now members of the Polish Army. You're going to put on Polish uniforms. You're going to tell everybody you're Polish. They took a bunch of Soviet officers and they gave them false Polish backgrounds. False documentation. They told them, oh, these are the Polish cities that you were born in. They gave them Polish uniforms, and bang, they said, now you're Polish officers. You're Polish citizens. You're going to be Polish. And of course, Roosevelt and Churchill knew all about this and just couldn't stop sucking Joseph Stalin's dick. Could not get Stalin's dick out of their mouths. This is statism, my friends. This is what the fuck it looks like. Stalin, at a dinner for visiting French dignitaries, actually threatened his own civilian officials and military officers with death. By saying things like, this is General so-and-so, he is responsible for doing such-and-such, and if he doesn't do that, I will have him shot. And Churchill and Roosevelt just couldn't stop sucking this guy's dick. The man was sick. The man was a sick fucking motherfucker. Talked about this already. When the Soviets took Hungary, they were gang raping the girls. Talked about that. Groups of 10 to 15 soldiers gang raping girls as young as 14 years old. Yep, those were the liberators. Great. Already talked about how the war was to save Poland and they got the biggest ass fucking. Talked about that. What's this note? Let me see if I have another page worth of notes, because I might. I'm still not finished watching this documentary, so you may hear some more. Oh, and then I almost forgot about this. The comet. The Komet. I can't speak German. The Komet. The Komet. Comet. Was a, almost said Soviet, German warship that was disguised to not be a warship. It sailed around the north coast of the Soviet Union to get to the Pacific Ocean to sink Allied ships. This was early in World War II. This was before the Soviet Union came into the war. And of course, I always knew that obviously the Soviets didn't do anything to stop it. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been able to sail past the entire fucking northern coast of the Soviet Union to get to the Pacific. Not only did the Soviets not stop this ship, they actually helped it. Soviet icebreakers helped the Komet, which was not an icebreaker ship, get through the frozen waters to get to the Pacific Ocean to sink Allied ships. This was before the Soviet Union joined the war, because, of course, Stalin was such a wonderful humanitarian and all that other shit. What's this last note here? Oh! So then, when the Soviets roll into Poland the second time, and the Germans are kicked out, so the Soviets send out a invitation to lunch to a group of Polish authorities, because, you know, there's still a couple of smart people left in Poland who haven't been killed by either the Soviets or the Germans or the Soviets again. So the Soviets invite this group of Polish leaders to have lunch with some Soviet officials. And apparently they had gotten all the smart people. Because, and yes, I am ripping on you, but just deal with it. You're not Jews, so don't fucking cry, okay? Just Polish people, just fucking deal with it, because what I'm saying is true. The Soviets invited these Polish people to come to a lunch meeting, and they fell for it. They showed up, and the Soviets said, yeah, we're going to a different location. It's a couple of miles away. It's much nicer than this. And the Polish guy said, oh, okay. And what happened? Oh, they got deported to Moscow and put into prison because they were dumb enough to fall for that, and they got on the goddamn truck. People, this is statism. This is fucking statism, guys. When somebody says to you, hi, we just invaded your country, and we know that you're one of the leaders here in this country, we'd like you to come have lunch with us. Okay. You see, that's a prelude to you getting killed. When your enemies say, oh, we want you to come have lunch with us so that we can talk. No. Okay. No. God fucking damn it. No. This is just like what I've ripped on the Jews for in the past. Because I used to have all this sympathy for the Jews. And then I saw this documentary about the Holocaust. Can't remember what it was called. It was years ago. I fucking wish I could just find it. There's a gazillion documentaries about the Holocaust. I'd never be able to find it. But this is burned into my memory. This is statism. This is what statism is like. It's not just this, because remember, statism is not just the people in the government like Stalin, Roosevelt, Churchill, who believe that humans are their property and that they can make decisions about. I mean, think about this. These fuckers are sitting around deciding where the borders of Poland are going to be. They're making a decision that will affect every single person who lives on that land. They are making these decisions that will affect the lives of all of these people. And they don't give a shit. They don't give a flying shit about those people. That's statism. That's the people you fucking worship. That's the people that you think are these intelligent, wise, democratically elected leaders. And your fucking Messiah Hussein Obama, he's no fucking better. He's no fucking different. He makes decisions every day that affect thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. He doesn't give a flying shit about those people. And you're fucking sick, and you're deranged, and you're delusional if you think he does. And that is statism. Statism is not just Obama and Bush and Reagan and Clinton. It's not just Churchill and Stalin and Hitler and Roosevelt. That by itself is not statism. Statism is you dumb fuckers out there who worship these pieces of shit, who obey these pieces of shit, who believe these pieces of shit are great humans. So back to the Jew documentary. These Jewish people who survived the Holocaust, they're being interviewed and they're talking and they're saying this. And I'm hearing this for the first time in my life. And this is before I was an anarcho-capitalist. And my mind is being fried when I hear these words coming out of their mouths. I'm just incredulous. I don't even know how to respond to this at the time because I was still a right-wing minarchist when I heard this. Now I know that this is statism. These Jews are saying that they're sitting here. They're sitting here in their house, okay? And there's a knock on the door. And they open the door. And there's German military Gestapo officers. They're standing there. And the officer says to them, "You have to leave your home." Oh, and of course, I mean, this whole documentary is full of examples of the Soviets doing this in Poland. They wander in Poland. It's like, all right, all of you, you have to leave your home. You got 15 minutes. Pack your shit. You have to leave your home. And everybody's just doing it. It's like, you realize that no good can come from this, don't you? Don't you realize that? How can you not fucking realize that? When the government knocks on your door and tells you you have 15 minutes to pack, how can you not realize nothing good will come from this? And how can you do nothing about it? How can you think that, oh, this is only me? How can you, how do people collectively, and that's the thing, it's just like, fuck, anyway, I'm not finishing my story because I'm going off tangent. That never happens on this podcast. I've never gone off tangent before. And they say to the Gestapo, the Jews say to the Gestapo, okay, we need to pack our clothes and stuff. And the Gestapo man says, no, you don't need to pack anything because we're taking you to another city because for over there in this new city, we have a job for you and we've built houses for you already. And your houses already have clothing in them and pots and pans. Everything's there. We're relocating you to this new place and you're going to have a job there and a house there. And the Jews were talking about how they fell for this. They believed it. And I'm hearing this and my brain is exploding. Are you And that was when all my sympathy for the Jews, it died. It died. Right, it died a miserable, painful death right there. When somebody from the government knocks on your door and tells you that you have 15 minutes to pack because you're being deported, that's one thing. That should terrify the shit out of you because you should know you're about to either be dead or tortured. But when somebody from the government knocks on your door and tells you that you're going to another city and you don't have to pack anything because they already have a job for you there and they've built you a house and it has pots and pans and furniture, has clothes in it because the government knows what size pants you wear. They've already bought clothes for you. My God, fucking God in heaven who doesn't even fucking exist. There's no fucking God. But my fucking God, how dumb do you have to be to believe that? How fucking blind to the evils of the government do you have to be to believe that shit? It sickened me, and at the same time, I was just like, what the fuck? And that was the beginning of my recognition of what's, because that's statism. When somebody from the government says that to you, and you believe them, that is statism. When someone from the government says, I'm here to help, and you believe them, that is statism. It's why I have no sympathy for the statist. When the statist is killed by the government, I have no sympathy. When the Jews talk about the concentration, dude, you guys were all statist as fuck. You people voted in elections. You believed that they need to have a government to build the roads. You believed that without the government, people would run down the streets and kill each other. When the fucking Gestapo showed up and told you they built you a new house in another city, you fell for it. You people were all just as fucking statist could be statist. You're just fucking statist. And if you live by the state, you die by the state. Because when you assert that the state owns you, then that means the state can do what it wants with you, including kill you. And until you fucking statists can let go of this worship of people like Roosevelt and Churchill and Reagan and Obama, until you can recognize that these people are evil, nasty, filthy pieces of shit, they're right up there with Stalin and Hitler. There's no fucking difference. I know you think there is. I know you're in this denial that in the United States, Roosevelt didn't put any Japanese people in concentration camps. I know you're in denial of this stuff. A fucking statist is a fucking statist is a fucking statist. There's no goddamn difference. All of these things that have happened in the past, they will happen again in the future. They will. It's a guarantee. It's just a fucking repeat. It's like human existence is on a motherfucking loop. We just go around and around and around and around. And I know, you think it can't happen here. The United States can't collapse. Neither could Rome. Neither could the British Empire, the French Empire, the Spanish Empire, the Portuguese Empire, the Soviet Union. See, collapse happens in other countries. It doesn't happen in our country because, well, our political leaders would never let that happen because they care about the people so much. Concentration camps and relocations, torture, rape, those things happen in other countries. Never going to happen in our country because, you see, our political leaders, well, they care. They care about people so much. Oh, they care. Oh, Obama, he cares. He cares so much. Obama lays awake at night worrying about you because he cares about you so much. Oh, he cares. Educate yourselves about history, my friends. Watch this documentary. See the statism. Listen to the statism. And try to get a fucking grip, okay? Because I'm telling you, if you live by the state, you're gonna die by the state.